Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church. And I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. Well, last week we started a new series called The Question. We're talking about the question that answers every other question, because sometimes it's just not clear when you ask yourself what's right or what's wrong. Sometimes even you ask yourself, is this a sin or is it not a sin? Is this something I could get away with, or is this law abiding? Sometimes those questions aren't the right questions. And sometimes we need a question that helps us get through all the muck, all the cloudiness, all the fog, and helps us get down to what is the most wise thing to do. And that's exactly what we're talking about. The question is, what's the wise thing to do? And I had you say it with me last week. I'm going to have you say it again. Ready? One, two, three. What's the wise? There you go. You're getting it. I can't tell you how many people I had talk to me this week and say, you know how many times I had my husband say that question? I mean, many of you used that against your spouse this week. But what's the wise thing to do? And we kind of, that's actually the simple part of the question, but actually that question is even bigger, right? There's a longer version of this question that gives us even more clarity, and it's this. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my past experiences, what I have learned, my past has taught me some things. There are some things that are not wise for me to do that are okay for other people to do, but my past has taught me there are some places I shouldn't go. There are certain people I shouldn't be around. It's not what's right, it's not what's wrong, but there are some things I have learned about myself, my past experiences. That is not the wise thing for me to do. In light of my current circumstances, because we have debt, because we just got married, because we just had a kid, because we just had our second kid, in light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing for me to do? And then in light of my future hopes and dreams, because my hopes and dreams aren't like everybody else's hopes and dreams. And so in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Now, you see how that just kind of brings so much clarity, how that kind of fixes so much fogginess, so many different questions that we might have. We're able to get straight to what's the wise thing to do for me in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams. And last week, the homework I gave you was to simply ask the question. Just start by asking the question. Because just by asking the question, you can learn a whole lot about yourself. And we talked about how you owe it to yourself to ask this question. Why? Because if you don't have your best interests at heart, then who will? If you don't have your best interests at heart, then who will? God has given this great tool of wisdom, a way for his Spirit to communicate to us what the wise thing to do is. And if we don't use it for our best interests, then who has our best interests at heart? We deserve it to ourselves. We owe it to ourselves to ask this question. What's the wise thing to do? Now, when we talked about this, in the context of Paul. Paul kind of helped us develop this question. And it came from a book called Ask It, written by Andy Stanley. But Paul says, wisdom is not natural. Nobody is naturally wise. Wisdom is something you have to opt to do. You have to choose to do. And if you don't opt for wisdom, then you end up being unwise. And Solomon, the third king of Israel, nicknamed the wisest man who ever lived because he was given wisdom as a gift from God, he would say the same. He'd say, you got to opt to be wise. You got to choose to be wise. Otherwise, you end up being unwise. And he wrote three books on wisdom. And in these three books, he gives us a great picture of what it looks like to be wise and how we can be wise and how we can choose wisdom and really what unwiseness looks like. And he wrote three books of our Old Testament. He wrote the book of Proverbs, which everybody's pretty probably familiar with. It's one that we quote very often. King Solomon wrote that. The book of Ecclesiastes. And then the book of Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, which you weren't allowed to read as a kid because it had the word breasts in it. Which, by the way, side note, I have determined myself that I'm going to write a series on the Song of Psalms because I told my wife, I said, you know, it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's there for a reason. And so I have to do my due diligence and I have to write a series. And she said, I would highly regard you not to do that because you will giggle like a middle schooler. To which the other wise voice in my life, Tim Dillo, says, and that's exactly why I want you to do a series on the Song of Psalms. And so it's happening now. Anyway, that'll come later on in the year. But he wrote these three books, Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. And in it, he shows us what it looks like to choose to be wise, but he also tells us what it would look like to be unwise. And in this book, in Proverbs, we can find three unwise types of people. There are three types of unwise people. And so I want to talk to you about those this morning because there's a good chance that you are one of these three people. All of us have been one of these three people, if not multiples of these people, at one time in our life. So here's the thing I want you to know. We're about to get super offensive, okay? I'm going to call you names. I'm going to make you mad. You're going to feel like I'm like talking right to you, okay? So just save yourself the email. You're right. I'm wrong, okay? And just know that this is just my responsibility. You need to be warned about this, okay? And it's okay. Nobody's poking fun of you. Nobody's calling you names. We all end up in these positions sometimes. We've all been one or more of these people at some time, and you just got to know. Okay? You just got to be able to recognize if there's an area of your life where you're being unwise so that you can choose to be wise. And so we're going to get into this. And so just hold on and buckle your seat and just hang on to me to the end. Don't tune me out, okay? Because there's hope in the end. So the first type of unwise person is the simple person, okay? And the simple person isn't wise because they just don't know any better. The simple person would be described as naive. There are just certain experiences in life that they haven't gone through yet. And so they don't know. And they haven't been there yet. And so the simple person is unwise just because of the season of life they are, just because of the age, just because of the thing that they haven't experienced yet. And Solomon, he wrote a proverb and he talks about the simple person. And this is what he says. He says, while I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path of her house. It was at twilight in the evening. As deep darkness fell, the woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. Then he goes on. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She is often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. Okay, so you see how this is going? Then he goes on a little bit later, jumping ahead. Said, so she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once, like an ox going to slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. So Solomon writes this proverb, and he's talking about this young, naive boy who sees this pretty girl and just falls right into her trap. And you're reading this, and you're going, no, don't do it. It's a trap. She's seductively seducing you. This is the unwise thing to do. But what does the young man do? He does it anyway. Why? Because he's stupid? No. Because he's a young man. Because he's a boy. Because he went through this thing called puberty. And he has hormones. And he's just a guy. He's just simple. And that's the thing. Simple people just don't know what they need to know. Simple people just haven't experienced certain things. And the thing is that if you've never faced the consequences for certain actions, if you've never gone through certain seasons of life, if you've never been in debt, if you've never faced a broken relationship or had a broken heart, the way other people have experienced debt and brokenness and financial troubles and broken heart, it's just, you're simple. You just don't know what you need to know. When I do premarital counseling, I'll do premarital counseling for anybody who asks me, but if they ask me to do the wedding, I always say we have to do premarital counseling. So we do premarital counseling. Many of you have gone through this with me. I use the same test I've always used from Prepare and Enrich. And so I'll send you a test online from Prepare and Enrich, and it asks you these questions, and it asks you, do you agree or do you disagree? And so one section that every single couple I've ever counseled fails miserably. Every time, the couple always gets this one part, and they fail it miserably. It's just because they're simple. It's just because they don't know what they need to know. And the section is this. It's called marital expectations. And so they'll come to this part of the test, and what it'll ask them, it says, do you agree or disagree? And they'll have to mark 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, either strongly or strongly not, agree or disagree. And the questions that'll come up are questions like this. Do you agree or disagree? Love is all you need for a happy marriage. Do you agree or disagree? After marriage, you will not need any other friendships because your partner will meet every single need you could ever possibly desire. Do you agree or disagree? At times, do you expect marriage to be disappointing or frustrating? And every single couple, some of you sitting here, it's the reason Bo has a huge smile on his face, is because when they come to that section, do you agree or disagree? Oh no, love is all we'll ever need. And I don't need anyone else, not a single friend in the world, because I'm marrying my best friend. And I'll never be disappointed, I'll never be frustrated, and I will never second guess and go, should I have married this person? And I always sit those nice, simple-minded young couples down, and I go, that is so cute, but let me tell you how much you're going to hate each other one day. One day when she has that frying pan in her hand, and you think to yourself, she might kill me with it, you're going to second guess what you did. One day when you realize you didn't even know it, but you married your mother, you married your father, that you are in so much trouble down the line because history is about to repeat itself. You're going to be frustrated, and you had better have friends, because when they kick you out of the house, you're going to need a couch to stay on. You are going to need this. And so I just get very blunt, very honest with them, and usually they look at me, and they think like, what does he know? But am I right? Can I get an amen for once in my sermon, okay? And it's okay, it's all right, it's just because you're simple. It's just because you haven't experienced it. It's just because you haven't gone through it. It's not your fault. You're not stupid. It's just because you don't know what you need to know. And look, everybody in this room, we can giggle and we can laugh about this because we've all been there. Folks, I can tell you of my most simple-minded parent time. Did you know when Olivia, my 5-year-old daughter, was 4 months old, I called the aftercare, after-hours nurse about cradle cap. Now, you can laugh about that if you're a parent because you know that cradle cap is not an emergency worth waking a nurse up at 11 p.m., okay? RSV or not breathing or purple face is worth calling the after-hours nurse, not cradle cap. But I called the after-hours nurse over cradle cap, okay? We've all been there. And here's the thing. You're simple. You just don't know. And the thing is that when we're simple, we don't face these things very well. A lot of times people offer wisdom to us. They try to give us wisdom. They try to warn us. Parents, we try to warn our kids, right? We try to warn our teenagers. We try to warn them when they first get married. We try to warn them when they first have kids. And if you're in that category, if you're a teenager, if you're in your 20s, if you've just had a kid, if you're in your first 5 years of marriage, here's the thing. There's just certain things you haven't experienced yet that others of us have. And we try to warn them, and we say, here's a simple person's response. A simple person will respond with things like this. Nothing's going to happen. And what do we say? How can you guarantee that? There's no way you can guarantee. How do you know? How can you predict the future and tell me that nothing's going to happen? Things have happened before. Trust me, in my life, I've seen things happen. Or you know what? I can handle it. But the wise person goes, well, here's the thing. In light of my past experiences, I couldn't handle it. So do you think you're stronger than me? Do you think you're wiser than me? Do you think you're better than the rest of the other people in this world who haven't been able to handle it, who have become addicted, who have been hurt, who have had to live with the consequences? How can you tell me you can handle it? Or they respond with, you're overreacting. But I'm not. The thing is that your parent, that wise friend, that person is just trying to tell you, look, in light of my past experiences, I'm trying to save your hopes and dreams. I'm trying to help you choose wisdom. I'm trying to help you opt for wisdom. And that's the thing. The simple person, the cure for the simple-minded, because they lack wisdom, they have to ask for it. They have to seek it because you just don't know. You haven't lived through it yet. And the thing is that those wise people are trying to save you from diminishing your future hopes and dreams, from destroying your future. I got a text this week from somebody, a grandparent of one of you, actually, who watched our service online on Facebook last week. And she texted me in the middle of this week, and she said, that sermon, she said, I cannot tell you how sad it made me. Because all I could think about is if I had heard this sermon 45 years ago, how much it would have changed my life. I can't tell you if I had heard this question 45 years ago, how I would have been able to change or keep my future hopes and dreams, and how many things went different because of unwise choices I made. Here's the thing, teenagers, young people, newly married, new parents, you're simple. And it's okay. But the thing you got to know is that the only way for you to opt for wisdom is you have to seek it. You have to ask for it. You have to see it out. But the great thing, here's the great news for you, and this makes all of us in this room naive and jealous of you. It's the thing that's great about being simple is that you're in the best position of anybody else in here. Because the thing is that when you're simple, you can have both. You can have your youth, and you can have your freedom, and you can still choose to be wise. And you can have the benefit of both. I mean, the position that you're in is incredible. I mean, you don't have a mortgage. You don't have debt like some of us have debt. You haven't gotten that credit card like some of us have gotten a credit card. You haven't, you know, put yourself down and got roots and have a mortgage or kids. You guys have the ability to sleep in. I mean, you can wake up whenever you want to wake up. I mean, you're in the greatest world that ever existed. The rest of us get woken up by little miniature clones of ourselves at any hour, at any point in time. Saturday nights, I don't even make an alarm anymore because my kids are my alarm, all right? But you're in this great position. And here's the thing. You can have both. You can have your youth. You can have your freedom. You can have so many experiences that we can't have anymore. But you can have that and you can still have wisdom. And you can find your hope, future hopes and dreams. You can discover those things. You can experience things that we wish we would have never experienced. Because many of us in this room, we wish we could go back to when we were a teenager. We wish we could go back to when we were in our 20s. And we wish we could ask this question. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? But here's the thing you got to know. You have to ask for it. You have to seek it. You have to be intentional about it. Because that's where many of us slipped up when we were young. We just didn't stop and ask the question. Now, that's a simple-minded person. I told you it would get offensive, right? And so teenagers, young people, your parents were giggling. You know what I mean? But now we're going to talk about your parents. Now we're going to talk about the old people in the room. So the second type of unwise person is the fool. There's the simple person, and then there's the fool. Now, the difference between the fool and the simple person is the simple person just doesn't know. They just haven't experienced it yet. But the fool does know. The fool knows the wise thing to do. The thing is that the fool just chooses not to do it. The fool is the type of person that you can walk up to, and you can go, you know that's not good for you, right? I know. So? You know what it says on the package. You know what that could lead to, right? Yep, I know. Don't care. Gonna do it anyway. You know that that's probably just going to put you into more debt. And if you're in debt, you should probably take that money and you should probably put it towards your debt. Yeah, I know. I don't care. The fool knows the wise thing to do. They just don't care. They're just choosing to be unwise because they just want to be unwise because they have a different motive. And so they choose to be unwise. Solomon said this about the fool. This is great verse. Some of us just put this on your coffin or your gravestone one day. As a dog returns to its vomit, just picture it for a minute, okay? As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. My wife loves Texas Roadhouse. Loves Texas Roadhouse. She's in a committed relationship with me, and then she's in a committed relationship with Texas Roadhouse, all right? She gets the same thing every time. We're the type of family, we go into Texas Roadhouse, we don't need a menu. We know exactly what we're going to get. We got the same thing for the last 15 years. Woman gets a 6-ounce steak, baked potato, and a salad. That's what she gets all the time. However, things are changing in her body. She's getting older. Maybe that's too much information. Is she in here? She's in here. Okay. But anyway, what has happened over the last 5 visits is every time she eats that steak, her stomach hurts. I mean, like, keeled over, stomach hurts, cramping up, something's about to explode inside of her. I just keep waiting for, like, the alien to come out, you know, like from Predator and Alien. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. So this happens once. Maybe it's the rolls. We don't eat rolls. We eat the steak. Happens again. Okay, it's the steak. Happens a third time. Are you insane? Happens a fourth time. What's the matter with you? We went out with the Monteiths 3 weeks ago to Texas Roadhouse. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm talking to this new couple at our church. I'm having a good time. I don't even think about it. And I turn over, and what is she eating? 6-ounce steak, baked potato, salad, same thing she said last 5. So what happens 2 hours later? She's keeled over on the couch. She's like, you have to take the kids. I'm dying inside. And I said, well, you know what? It's because you're a fool is your problem. What are you doing? And so last night, her parents are in town. They're probably loving this sermon. We go out with her parents last night at Texas Roadhouse, and the waiter comes, and she goes, what would you like? And I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, we just did a CrossFit competition, and you fell and broke your butt. You're going to break your stomach next. What are you doing? And you know what? The woman, I'm going to give her this. She repented of her sin. She ordered chicken, and she was fine. Everybody give her a round of applause. But it took her 5 times, okay? So when you're not having a good day and you think pastor and his wife are perfect, no, they're not, okay? We have problems in our home too. We've got Texas Roadhouse problems. But as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Here's the thing. So how many times do we do the same thing expecting a different result? And we think we can manage the outcome. And we say, not this time. It's going to be different. But the fool continues to do the foolish thing over and over and over again. And at some point, you got to think, come on, you know what's going to happen. You know the consequences. You know where this is leading. You know what you're putting in your body. You know what the wise thing to do is. You know that how far you are in debt. You know what it's going to take to be able to get out of that debt. You know how to change your health concerns and what you're going through right now. You know what you need to do in your relationship to be able to mend this problem in your marriage. You know. So why do you choose to do the same thing? You stay in your foolishness and you continue to go back and you think it's going to be different. Or you just don't care. And Solomon would say, you're a fool. And here's what's so sad, and here's what many of us know, what many parents know, what many wise friends or wise parents or wise mentors know, is that the cure for the simple person is time. They'll get there. Even if they make some unwise decisions, they'll eventually know. It'll come. It'll happen. But the sad thing is that the cure for the fool is tragedy. And that's what we're trying to save you from. So that friend or that parent or that relative who's on your back, who's trying to warn you, who keeps bringing it up, and you keep going, well, stop being so judgmental. Stop. Stay out of my business. Leave me alone. The thing is that out of love, we're just trying to save you from a tragedy. Because the sad thing is that eventually the fool will hit a wall. Eventually the fool will get arrested. Eventually the fool will need a lot of help. Eventually the fool will claim bankruptcy. Eventually the fool will see what happens. And that's the thing that the fool needs to know, is that eventually tragedy is going to strike. And the thing is that I think a lot of us don't understand is that your foolishness doesn't just affect you. Because you think to yourself, it's my body, it's my life, it's my money. But here's the truth. There is no decision. There is no decision. I don't think it's on there. There it is. There is no decision you make that only impacts you. Let that just soak in for just a minute. There is no decision you make that only impacts you. Not a chance. Solomon talked about this in Proverbs 13:20. He says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Here's the thing that you will find eventually, is that choose to be unwise, and it will eventually impact the future hopes and dreams of your family. Choose to be unwise, and it will impact the future hopes and dreams of your marriage. Choose to be unwise, and it will impact the future hopes and dreams of your career. And it will impact others. Hey, here's the thing you need to know from your pastor. Choose to be unwise, and you will impact the future hopes and dreams of this church. Your foolishness can impact you and your home. Your foolishness can impact the people that are here and what we're trying to do. Trying to lead people to Christ. Trying to save people's eternity. And your foolishness can mess that up and impact us here. It's true. The fool has to choose to be wise. The choose has to recognize what it's jeopardizing, what it's possibly hurting. And it has to stop and care enough to ask the question, what's the wise thing to do? And the last type of person is this. The last type of person is the mocker. The mocker is the fool on steroids. Because the mocker also knows the wise thing to do and chooses not to do it. Except for the mocker is so smart that they want to try to argue with you and convince you that their unwise decision is wise. You know the type of person? Don't nudge anybody next to you, okay? The mocker is the person who is so unwise and so convinced that they're right and they're wrong that you can't argue with them. They are stubborn. You could argue with them till they're blue in the face. And you could say to them, you know what it says on the package. You know what this is going to lead to. And they go, well, actually, there have been several studies. I can't cite any of them, that will actually tell you that my unwise decision is a wise decision as long as I'm able to stay under control. And of course, I'm always in control. Actually, I would actually say that you're a person who's more out of control. Actually, I've been meaning to talk to you about your foolishness. Have you ever known? And they're so stubborn. They're immovable is what they are. They're arguers. They're intellectuals. They are the smartest person in the room. And they are. They're very smart. They can talk a great game. And you could argue with them till they are blue in the face. But the mocker, you cannot argue with them. Solomon said this about the mocker. He says, anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you. See, that's the thing about the mockers, is you can argue with them till they're blue in the face, and they will just make you feel bad about caring about them. You will try to save them from tragedy, but yet they will make you feel bad for caring. And they will be stubborn, and they will be immovable. And here's the thing that the mocker needs to hear, is that eventually the only way to deal with a mocker is to leave them alone. At some point with the mocker, you give up. Because as much as you care, and as much as you ask, and as much as you bring it up, the more you do, the more they hate you. The more they insult you. The more they make you feel bad about loving and caring and trying to save them. So eventually, you know what happens with the mocker? Well, eventually with the mocker, you just leave them alone. And that's the thing when it comes to the mockers. When it comes to the mockers, eventually, you're going to be alone. You're going to be left alone because it's so hard to argue with you. It's so hard to try to convince you what the wise thing to do is. Eventually, what happens is that you just have to let them be. And that's sad when you have to walk away from that. When you have those Christmases together or those family get-togethers where there's just this unspoken tension. But you're not allowed to bring that subject up. You're not allowed to talk about that because you know if you bring that subject up, you know if you talk about the elephant in the room, what's going to happen. The mocker's not going to let you win. The mocker's going to let you know how wrong you are. The mocker's going to call you judgmental. The mocker's going to make you feel bad about caring. And so you just don't bring up the elephant in the room. You just put on a mask and you're just fake around each other. You never talk about what you truly need to talk about because there's just so much tension there. And that's hard. Now, all of us, like I said, have been one of these three types of people, right? Every single one of us. At some point, we've been the fool. At some point, we've been the mocker. At some point, we've been simple-minded. And Solomon writes us this final kind of piece that kind of puts this all together. And it's a warning is what it is. And he says this in Proverbs 1. This is at the very beginning. He talks about wisdom as like a woman calling out. Now remember, this isn't God talking. This is wisdom talking. Solomon writes this narrative as if wisdom is calling out in the streets, offering itself to anybody. And this is what happens. It says, out of the open, wisdom calls out. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge. Repent at my rebuke. So wisdom is offering itself to anybody, everybody. It's totally open. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. Remember, this is wisdom, not God. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, and when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and will be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywards of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, listen to me closely. Here's what this is saying. We all know this to be true. Every decision we make reaps a harvest. Every decision we make plants seeds. And wisdom is saying here, I am trying to warn you, I am trying to tell you, I am offering up my wisdom to you. All you have to do is ask the question. And I will come and find you, and there will be safety and ease and fear of harm. But here's the thing, you got to ask the question. And if you don't, you will sow what you reap. Reap what you sow. You have decisions that you have to make. And every single one of us in this room could probably go back to a time when we were simple and probably think, I should have listened to my parents. I should have asked for advice. I should have chosen when somebody warned me, when somebody told me not to, when somebody told me don't buy that, when somebody told me it was too soon, when somebody told me you should be patient, when somebody told me you should wait, I should have listened. I should have been wise. I shouldn't have been so compulsive because I gave up some of my future hopes and dreams. And the great thing about you simple people is you can have it both. All you have to do is choose to be wise. All you have to do is ask the question. And for the fools, tragedy is coming. And tragedy is coming. And here's the thing. What you got to understand is this is wisdom talking, not God. God will always forgive you. God was a God of limited opportunities, of tons of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. God will always take you back. But can we be honest and can we fully recognize that we all know there's damage that we can do in this world that can never be returned from. There are relationships and brokenness we can experience that we can never return from. When we should never expect somebody to just take us back or trust us again like they once did after the damage that we've done. We have to make a turn before that tragedy happens. And when that tragedy happens, we have to opt for wisdom now before any more damage is done. And for the mockers, look. Eventually, people are just going to leave you alone and leave you to your foolishness. And nobody wants to see you there. Nobody wants to see you left alone to your foolishness. You have to be able to humble yourself and lay down your pride and be able to listen to the wisdom that's around you. It's calling your name. It's offering itself to you. And the great news is that God has given us this tool, this question that we could all ask and apply to our lives. In light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? Now you've heard this message. And last week I challenged you to ask the question. But here's what I'm going to challenge you to do this week. Don't only ask the question, but follow the question. When you ask that question and you learn what the wise thing to do is, and you don't listen to that voice, you're a fool. When you listen to that question and you know the right thing to do, you know the wise thing that you should do, but you choose to convince yourself and convince others that that's not really the thing you should do, you're a mocker. And you're headed for loneliness, you're headed for tragedy, and this is the warning. Now you know. So there's no excuses. Ask the question, follow the question, listen and choose what the wise thing to do is. The band's going to come back up and I'm going to pray for us. And as we pray for us, some of you have opted for wisdom, and that's great. Some of you, you need to be that wise person for the unwise. But others of us, myself included, there are things that we do every day. As wise as we can be, sometimes we all make unwise decisions. So this morning, we have to pray, God, would you help me choose wisdom? Would you help me opt for the wise thing to do? Would you help me discover my future hopes and dreams? Would you help me discover who it is that you want me to be and the purposes and plans you've put in place for me? Will you pray with me this morning? God, this morning as we come to you, God, I pray that each of us, as we face this question, as we've talked about this very difficult subject, God, I pray that you would just speak to us right now. I pray that you would just search our hearts. God, this morning, if we're that simple person, if we are that young person who's experiencing so many different things for the first time, if we're that teenager that has a long, if we have that long road ahead of us, God, this morning, would you help us to choose wisdom? Would you help us this morning to ask for it, to seek wisdom from somebody else? God, this morning, if we're that fool, if we're choosing to be unwise, we know what the wise thing to do is. God, would you help us this morning to choose wisdom? Would you help us to repent and listen to your warning this morning? And God, if we are the mocker, God, if we have been the mocker, if we have mocked you and said, you know, I don't care what your Bible says. I don't care what your word says. I don't care what your spirit says. I'm not going to listen to that voice. You think you know what the wise thing to do is? You don't know the wise thing to do. I know what's right for myself. God, that pride inside of us, that selfishness, would you just help us to lay that down? Would you help us to kill that this morning? Would you help us to listen to your wisdom and invite your voice into our life this morning, God? God, we love you this morning. Would you help us to repent today? In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.